Core Sound's pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, kill dead space, and free themselves to focus on worship. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. And I am on fire.
Wow. That's cool.
I'm on fire.
Yeah, get the fire extinguisher, guys.
This boy is on fire.
I'm picturing you now with Alicia Keys' braids.
Nice.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah.
Rizzle.
Yeah, Perizzle.
Perizzle.
Yeah, you know why Snoop Doggy Dog carries an umbrella everywhere he goes? For drizzle.
Golly.
Yeah, that one's free.
Yeah.
If you want more, you got to come to the show.
Well, speaking of shows, we're so excited to talk about On Fire, a brand new podcast launched by Next Gen Worship that is by women and for women, featuring a couple of members of our team, one of whom happens to be sitting in the room right now, Haley Kaler.
Wow. Yeah. That's exciting.
Four bois.
What?
Four bois. Four women by women.
Oh, yeah. Four bois. So my friend Alicia and I decided to have a podcast.
Alicia Keys?
Oh, my gosh. That's what? Amazing.
How did you guess?
Yeah. No, we just decided that we wanted to speak to women. We wanted to empower women. We wanted to help champion women. And so we're going to give it a go.
Yeah. So tell us the heart behind this. There's a feistiness about this show. There's a mentality and a thing in your hearts about championing women.
Well, you know, championing women is like not new necessarily, but it's new inside of me because women are generally very competitive. They're walled off. They don't trust each other. It's us and them, usually with women. And we just really feel passionate to break that, to do something different, to say, hey, you know what? That's not godly and that's not who we are. So that's what we're going to do.
Flub wub. And that is the On Fire podcast, empowering women to thrive, to listen. We've got some episodes already loaded on all of your favorite platforms. You can listen to all of them by simply going to onfirepodcast.com.
Yep. Very excited about On Fire Podcast. It's a little bit different flavor than this show. It's really upbeat with some good serious tones talking about real life stuff. On this show, man, we are like diving into like heavy, heavy stuff. There's some of that there on the On Fire Podcast, but they're also super fun. So women, you're going to love it. Check it out.
Where else can you talk about being a lady carrying a sword and also the trials of trying on swimsuits?
That should have been on a different show. That's the other show coming next month. No. Today on the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, we are exploring world-changing worship. I'm so excited to be sitting down with Robbie Busick from Bethel Music, and that's all coming up.
Loving others doesn't mean that you practice tolerating them. It means that you are an active participator in fighting for justice in their lives. It means that you're now a fighter for their dreams, their greatness, and the treasures inside of them to be fully displayed. Are you offended when people do well? Are you shipwrecked when others become great? You were created to display His brilliance, and that always includes helping others to shine brighter than yourself. Surround yourself with people greater than you, people that do exploits, and people who know how to shine, not for the sake of climbing a ladder, but so that you can become great at championing others also. After all, that's what the great ones do.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're going to be sitting down with James Jackson. He is a musicianary to Seoul, South Korea. He was on Azusa Now, and he led worship. Man, that guy carries some soup.
Mm-hmm.
Like a big old pot of soup.
Soupy, juicy.
He's got the ladle and the big pot of soup. He's got it sitting on his hip, and he just
ladling
comes in.
It
and
out
just,
for the
he
mess.
Just ladles it right into everybody's bowls.
Oh, yeah, I love him.
Yeah, so we're going to be sitting down with him talking about following the voice, something that Jesus did and something that we are aspiring to do as well.
Right.
Listening and just following the voice.
Right.
Today, we're so excited. Later on in the show, we're going to be sitting down with Robbie Busick, album production manager for Bethel Music, and talking today about world-changing worship.
Yeah, I connected with Robbie earlier this year through Seth Mosley down there in Franklin, Tennessee, at a workshop that he did for music makers. And man, Robbie is an incredible worship leader, but he's also especially gifted in business and administration, and he is killing it out there at Bethel. Anyway, love connecting with him. It's going to be great. So let's talk about worship, world-changing worship. Of course, such a great topic in connecting with Bethel on this because, man, they are changing the face of worship across the world, and it's because of who they are. It's because of their process, and it's not just because they've got some great sound and some great production going. It's so important to mention this because we do see the superficial worship stuff happening. But what's the key to this thing that we're after? The key is who we are. And the key is why. Why worship? And and that's really what I want to hit today. It's the fact that worship is the act of hosting his presence until heaven invades every aspect of darkness that's in the earth. It's a radical invasion is what it is. It's a military thing that happens. When we worship, we activate all the host of heaven on our behalf to see the earth transformed. That's a little bit farther than prepping the church mood for the sermon or whatever, you know, getting whatever the old adage is for all of that. Yeah. But we love to talk about worship because worship shifts atmospheres, not only in the sanctuary, but in our cities.
I love it. And for me, like, worship is so powerful. It's a opportunity for you to connect with God. But for me, it's also one of the most effective ways that I have gotten truth into my heart, to use worship as a tool to change my own atmosphere, to change the atmosphere in my heart with the things that are right attitudes, right thoughts, right processes in my life. A lot of that growth has come through worship.
And we're talking about worship, mainly musical worship. Worship is a lifestyle that we walk out, you know, in everything that we do and say. But musical worship tends to have a little magic in it. And I know that's not a popular word in the church, but it's a little bit of magic that kind of refocuses our attention onto what is real.
Yeah.
What is really real, that the things of heaven become reality for us. And so easy to get distracted by life. It's so easy to just get overcome by circumstances. It's so easy to allow yourself to go there. Worship music has a way of bringing us back around, especially stuff that carries anointing, that carries, you know, a download from heaven in it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you talked about moving past the musical aspect of worship, but to me, this starts at a really core level. I mean, it's the act of laying my life down so that I can partner with Holy Spirit with authority that begins to fill everything in every way. That's a radical mindset that you don't get with every single person when you talk about worship. But for us, Next Gen Worship, I mean, we're talking about a radical step up in the way that worship interfaces with the activity of the kingdom of God in the earth. I mean, we worship, we're partnering with stuff.
Right.
We're partnering with the angelic. We're partnering with Holy Spirit. We're partnering with each other. If our heart is right, man, we begin to partner with an agenda that supersedes by far anything that's happening right now on the earth. And that's why you can begin to see things moved radically and shifted in the earth because we are partnering with such a higher level of government, so to speak. We're partnering with an authority that breaks down every other thing in its path.
You know, like, we all know this, our words carry power. And so I love that in worship, we're using our voice, we're using our words, that I believe we really are affecting the atmosphere around us, not only spiritually, but physically. Like, you've seen, they do studies of like proteins that like one hears about love and one hears about hate, and the actual proteins in the microscope change their shape.
Right.
And so I think that when we saturate our environment with worship, we're actually impacting the physical world around us, people's health, our financial situations, our kids, like all of that is in the firing lane.
Absolutely. I love the idea that we are capable of partnering with the perfect plan. I've heard people blame God because he's in control. And I've heard people say, well, God's not really in control because of free will. The bottom line is God has the perfect plan, right? He has the perfect plan and he allows us to partner with him. Yeah. So whenever we do that and we release that on earth, it changes things.
Yeah,
I love that it physically changes things. It changes culture. It changes mindsets. It changes bodies. It changes chemistry. It changes everything whenever his plan infects our realm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the great hopes that I hold in my heart for the sake of worship is the community element. We talk about that a lot, but we're not talking about just going into your closet and having a secret place time, although is essential.
Yeah.
We're talking about the added layer and the added benefit that we get when we unite with one heart and one mind and one accord in worship and rally around the heart of heaven for our city, for people, for what he's doing. I mean, we see so many times in the Bible, for example, let's go Old Testament for a second. We've talked about this before, but great testimony of the power of worship when the Israelites marched around Jericho and then they released a sound and the walls fell down.
Yeah.
Let's talk about New Testament, Paul and Silas in prison.
Yeah.
They worshiped and their chains were broken. Not only their chains, but everyone in the prison and everybody got saved. Right. I mean, the power of worship is boundless. It knows no bounds. It's an incredible way not only for us to unite as community and believers under the agenda and the heart of heaven, but it's also a weapon. You know, it's a weapon of war in the earth, and it's a way that God shows up in the midst of his people in a way that is amazing.
It really is a weapon. I mean, there's all kinds of biblical examples of the worshipers going out before the army in the Old Testament and shifting the tide of a battle just with their worship, just with their words, with an act that's prophetic, not even getting out their swords.
It's the magic, baby. It's where the magic happens.
It's juicy.
So if you're a worship leader, whether you're on a worship team or whether you're a worship pastor or you're just doing worship in your home, you have permission to be the catalyst of heaven wherever you are. You are carrying something that has encounter. You are carrying the encounter of heaven with anyone that is in your atmosphere. And so I just want to encourage worship leaders out there to take that mantle seriously. And you're not there to lead people in just a few little songs. You're not there to prep for the word. You're there to bring an encounter. And to carry encounter, sometimes you have to go off the map. Sometimes you have to get off the road and head off into the woods sometimes and just follow where the Spirit is leading, because that's where the secret place is. That's where the heart of the jungle is. Get out there in the woods and find the encounter that heaven wants to bring.
Oh, that's so good. So good. Yeah. Think bigger than Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings are better than they've ever been, but it's one day a week. Let's rally around what God is saying to us about our cities, our regions, our nations, and the world.
Man, I think my life just got changed.
So we are trying to steward that really well and give opportunity outside of the four walls of Sunday morning for worship leaders to come in doing Unite Worship gatherings, house fires. In fact, we have one coming up this Friday night. You can get online, facebook.com/NextGenWorship House Fires, and find out the address and all that stuff. But we come together in living rooms, we come together in churches, we come together wherever we possibly can, and we go after encounter. Do that in your region, do that in your atmosphere, steward heaven wherever you are, and let's change things with worship. You definitely want to stick around. Robbie Busick from Bethel Music coming up. We asked local worship leaders to try Core Sound pads and tell us what they think.
So I started using pads probably about 3 years ago, mainly because on a Wednesday night when you didn't have an entire worship team, it was pretty thin, so I started using those on the recommendation of Clint and come across the Core Sound pads. I figured pad's a pad, but it's really not. These pads are so much more than just someone sitting on a sustain pedal with a keyboard pad playing in the background. It fills the space so much more depth and dimension, and if you have the right pad player, it'll actually do the transition from one key to another, and that's one of the main reasons I like it. I am Will Brown, worship pastor at Promised Land Fellowship in Granby, Missouri.
Go to Core, C-O-R-E, CoreSoundPads.com to learn more. Try free samples and get going with pads today. Enter promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're sitting down with James Jackson, talking about following the voice. Today, we've been discussing world-changing worship, and who else better to have on the program with us than Bethel Music's Robbie Busick.
All right, Robbie, thanks so much for joining us today on the podcast.
Absolutely.
We got to know each other a little bit down in January in Franklin, Tennessee, at Seth Mosley's events down there. What a great guy. Yeah. And some amazing things that he's doing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? You're with Bethel Music, but tell us about yourself and your family and what you guys are doing over there at Bethel.
Yeah, sounds good. So I'm originally from Arkansas, and I went to University of Central Arkansas there, where I met my now wife. And I heard about Bethel through a friend of mine. I was singing background vocals on the worship teams there, and our worship pastor, our campus ministry, decided to try out for American Idol, and he ended up moving away to try out for that, and he actually never came back because he ended up winning. His name was Chris Allen. He's a great guy and doing amazing things in the music industry. So when he left, I started leading worship in that ministry, and a friend introduced me to these new songs by Jesus Culture and Bethel Music, and one of the worship leaders was Jen Johnson, and I was dating my wife at the time, and I heard one of these songs where she was singing out spontaneously. It was all about just loving on Jesus. I think it was on the Hear His Love record, but I just randomly said one day, wouldn't it be cool to end up out there, like, someday?
Wow.
Just kind of like, it wasn't a prayer. It wasn't like this, oh, I just have this huge dream to move to California and go to Bethel. Like, it was just this funny, like, side comment that I made. I had no clue that I would actually end up out here. So I started trying to sing songs like Bethel would sing them, where they'd sing words that weren't part of the song and they weren't on the screen. And it was just these spontaneous love on God moments and love on Jesus moments. And that led to a different kind of worship in our ministry. Not that they hadn't done some of that before, but just like a different flavor. And it was really beautiful. And so I just kept seeing different things happen when I would lead worship, singing out what my pastor would preach without knowing what he was going to preach or different things like that. And I just wanted more. I wanted more of what God was doing. I wanted to see more of that. And so in December of 2010, I graduated college. I got engaged. And we both applied for the School of Ministry out here at Bethel, all in the same month of December. And within 3 days, we had been accepted, and we told God, like, if this is what you want for us, then, like, let the acceptance be your yes. And we both were accepted within 3 days and knew we were supposed to move out here. So we got married and moved out here, and I went through 2 years of School of Ministry, and I did a third-year internship with Bethel Music. I applied and got accepted, and that's where I jumped into the music industry. And I thought I'd have three big seasons of my life, you know? Like, I would have the business, because I got a degree in business. I'd have the music season of my life and the ministry season of my life. And then I went to work in an internship for a music business ministry.
Wow. So, that's awesome.
It was just like God constantly always exploding my dreams and my thoughts, like even showing me in the times where I wasn't even praying that he was listening, you know?
Yeah.
And I've always been told there's a huge destiny, a huge call in your life. And I'm still honestly seeking that out and searching that out and the will of the Lord, but also just the things and the desires that he's put in my heart. And so that's kind of how my story got started coming here. There's a lot more to it than that. That's the abridged version.
That's a pretty crazy ride so far, it sounds like. I see you leading worship from time to time on Bethel TV.
What else do you do there? Give us a little taste of your world there at Bethel.
Yeah, absolutely. So worship is my passion. That's where I'm living out. Like, that's when I feel like I'm most me. Not leading worship on a stage, but just when I'm worshiping and to live in an environment where they cultivated that for so many years and live that out as a lifestyle that they want other people to pick up on is so huge. So that was what drew me in. At first, I questioned, you know, like my internship, like I could do one somewhere else in the ministry and really grow in leading worship. But I just also had this passion for business and wanted to serve. I just wanted to serve what Bethel Music was doing, and getting worship out into the whole world in a new way, in a fresh way, was a huge part of my heart, whether or not I ended up at Bethel Music. So I thought, well, let me see how they're doing this and see if there's a way I can bring strength to it. And so I started out in my internship and working on radio ads for getting the word out for our tours. Right when I came on as an intern, we had been on one tour. Now we're doing 3, 4, 5 tours a year. Lots of itinerant trips. We brought our whole team in-house, and it's amazing. But back then, it was just the one tour, and so we were advertising on radio, and I was also learning about publishing. So when I got hired out of my internship, I came into publishing, learned all about licensing, learned all about copyright, learned all about everything that goes into songwriting and splits, and what that looks like for the marketplace, and then what that looks like in our world with our DNA attached to it. And then just recently in the last year, kind of helped raise some people up into that role so I could transition more into the albums part. So now I'm the album production manager for Bethel Music, and that basically means I run the administration behind every part of an album project. We probably have 6 to 8 projects currently in different places of our timeline working right now. So there's a lot going on.
Wow. That sounds incredible. Real quick, maybe what's one of your favorite projects that you worked on with Bethel?
Oh, wow. That's a huge question. Wow. I would say one of my favorites is actually what's releasing on this Friday, Starlight. It's our new compilation album coming out. It's our first album recorded on a tour.
Mm-hmm.
We've done live albums before, but we just wanted to capture what our hearts for tour have been, that we not just do the Bethel Music thing in front of people in cities, but that we actually take our crew on the road and we partner with what God is doing in every city. So when we can, we're reaching out to the cities before we go to them and connecting with the people we're connected to in those cities and just asking them what they feel God is doing in their community, so that we can come and not just blow up worship in front of them, but partner with them in what God's doing. And to somehow pull that into an album process was a really special thing for me to see. You're like summer. Seeing our crew really dig in over the past year and write songs from their heart out of the seasons they were in, that's the most special part of any album project for me. But that one, being on tour and partnering with the cities and the cities getting to be a part of those recordings, was a really big deal for me.
Wow. I love that. I love the partnering with cities and what God's doing there. That's incredibly powerful. And we've actually been at a couple Bethel nights and very life-changing. Yeah, very powerful. I wondered maybe if you would share, this puts you on the spot a bit, but you know, you came from somewhere else and came to Bethel and went through the school and became a part of their production process and their worship. What would you say the biggest thing has changed in your heart as a result of being connected there in that atmosphere?
Wow. Well, I think it's something that's still changing, honestly, but there's so many paradigm shifts here. I feel like I spent my whole life, I was raised in church. I had all these questions about, well, I was taught this, but what about this is actually God? And what about this is actually, you know, me or man's interpretation of God? And I felt like when I moved here, I got so much clarity on the heart of the Father of God, like him as a father, that he actually is good. One of our biggest things that we really try to champion in all of our songwriting here that has changed me has been, and it's still an ongoing process if I'm being completely vulnerable, this idea that he really is good. Like, we all grew up saying it, but we don't know always how that applies in our lives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of our core values in our worship is vertical worship that is to God, not just about God. There's so many ways that you can pull on songwriting from the Bible where, you know, depending on where you're pulling from the Bible, it can really affect the tone of your songs or the tone of your belief system. I mean, remove songs from that and just talking about your own daily living. It's like one of the things that probably has changed me the most is that our pastor, Bill Johnson, says there's so many different things you can look at the Bible and say, this is what God is like, or this is what God is like. And depending on where you're looking, it can really affect your understanding of who he is. The thing that changed my life was he says that Jesus is perfect theology.
Mm.
And that has shifted so many different paradigms in my heart, in my mind. Whenever I'm questioning God, like, what is going on in my life or in this person's life or that person's life? And the whys, the questioning starts happening. You know, I don't know that the questioning ever goes away because he's called us to live a life of faith. But one thing we can know is that our questions should never affect the truth of what we know about God. And when those come into question, I always look back to Jesus, knowing that he's the perfect theology. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He went and he healed the sick everywhere he went. He laid hands on the sick. He proclaimed the goodness of God coming, and everything that he did was to lift people up, to bless them, to encourage them. And so, like, all of our songs that we write or all the way I'm working to live my life, and it's a day in, day out process, is not being so sin focused anymore, or like my past or what I've done, or I'm not just a sinner anymore. I'm a saint. I was a sinner, but now I'm a saint. That's what he says about me. So I'm either going to believe it or not. And it just goes to that, like, I have the opportunity to live out a life just like Christ did. And any day where that is not the life that it looks like I'm living is a day where I get the opportunity to let God come in and be strong in the midst of my weakness. And so that's kind of the biggest change that's happened for me in my life being here, is that perspective and life change.
Yeah, that's so good, man. So powerful. Well, let's wrap up our conversation. I want to hear about what you're dreaming about, some of the things that God's breathed in your heart concerning the future, and some of those dreams you guys are pursuing.
Wow, yeah. Well, I mean, personally for me, songwriting is a huge dream. Writing songs that, I mean, the word says we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that happens from the washing of the water of the word. And I believe that the word there is also talking about the rhema, the living word of God, the word he's speaking now through his Holy Spirit to us. And so my heart is to capture what the Holy Spirit is saying now for the body of Christ and for the earth. Anything he says now will never contradict his word that we read. So I don't have to be worried about that. But what he's speaking now and saying now, capturing that in songs that can cut through the filter of the things that we've learned through circumstance and go straight to our spirits and to our hearts and see it change life and bring heaven to earth and make our world look more like his. Being a part of that process, whether I'm a songwriter, worship leader on albums or not, that's my dream, is that. Also, knowing who God has been as father to me and learning more and more about how he's a father to me, being able to be a father to others. I have a daughter now. She's going to be 1 year old. Next week, we're having her birthday this weekend. I'm really excited about it. But awesome. But not just even for her, you know, like, but at being a father, I want to father other people into a place where they're not afraid to shine the gifts that God's put inside of them, but pull the gold out of them. You mentioned Seth Mosley and what he's doing. Like, pull the gold out of people and tell them it's actually okay to shine.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to to hide their gifts out of this fear of being considered prideful or it being all about you. Because when your heart is in a place of glorifying God, He's going to shine His light on you, and He's going to want the world to watch you. You know, that's why Bethel's in the place they're in, not because it was ever about the numbers, but because it was about God's light shining in us and through us for the world to see, so that they could then have the gold pulled out of them to bring glory to God in the way that He created them to. And if I'm doing that in my life, I'm living out the big dreams in my life.
Well said. Well said. That's so good. Well, Robbie, it's been a pleasure and a joy connecting with you.
Yeah.
Truly inspirational what you're doing. And, you know, you're an incredible worship leader, and just really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show with us today.
Absolutely. It's an honor.
So good to have Robbie on the program. Look forward to connecting with him in the future. And I do want to encourage you to join us next week for the program. We have James Jackson. He is a musicianary to Seoul, Korea. And we're going to be talking about following the voice. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.